Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and, of course, the afterlife. My name's Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm very happy to welcome Janet Mayer back to the show. Like our guests, all of our other guests, Janet is an incredible medium. She's certified with the Forever Family Foundation. She also sits on its advisory board, and she's participated as a research medium in studies at the University of Arizona. She's worked with Dr. Jeff Tarrant in studies of brain correlations. She's also spent 4 years searching for answers about a language that she spontaneously began speaking. And her journey led her to the Smithsonian Institute, where her language was identified and translated. Turned out she speaks the ancient languages of Yanomami, Funio, Tucano, and Canamari, all from indigenous tribes of South America. These languages have continued to emerge over the past 20 years. Janet is the author of Spirits, They Are Present, and she can be reached by her website, www.janetmayer.net. Ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing to doing the commercial-free shows, so no interruptions. Sit back. Put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us. Let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Janet, I just want to make a couple of special For Every Family Foundation announcements. The Summer Medium Raffle registration is now open. Details can be found on the event page of the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website. And also, you'll find information there about the spots that are still available for the October Grief Retreat in California. Yes, looks very interesting. By the way, tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes, so your questions are more than welcome, but Janet will not be performing any readings. And you know what? We've been, coming up with questions for the last, over a year now, and it's been going great. So you guys have been writing in your questions, and those are the questions that we ask our mediums, and we just welcome them to the show. But if you want to call in, you're more than welcome. 1-888-627-6008. So hi, Janet, welcome to the show.
Hi, Roland. What a nice intro. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
It's been, I was looking back at the records, the last time, and it's about a year ago that we spoke. It was in April of last year.
Okay. Yeah, I knew. I thought it was about a year, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I'm back.
7 months, yeah. A lot has happened.
Yeah.
How you been out in the Midwest?
I'm doing really well. We don't have a lot of snow, which is kind of a bummer. I like the snow, but, we're doing okay, and I'm keeping busy here, so that's the important thing.
Fantastic.
And enjoying.
Glad to hear it. Yeah, so, well, we're going to tap your mind and, ask some questions and take some callers, hopefully. And, Janet, you're still active with all the languages, all of those languages that I mentioned earlier. Do you still practice them or speak them, or do they appear to you at some times, or how does that work?
They do. They, as far as I don't know which languages come through at what time, but I mm-hmm. do still speak them. They come through, and they'll be spontaneous at times, and other times I'll meditate and I'll feel it really strong. So I just go ahead and speak it, and it's there. I mean, it's always, I always have the language. It's always there. Right. Like I said, it's, sometimes it is really strong, other times not so much.
Right. And now, do you ever record yourself talking it, like when you know?
I used to all the time. I don't so much anymore because I guess, not to, sound bad, but it because it's there, I'm used to it. So I just feel like it, if I want to speak it, I could sit down and do that. But for the most part, I don't record it anymore. But people, I mean, if somebody's like, oh, can I record it? It's like, sure, that's fine. It's one of those things that to me, when I meditate and it comes through, it always helps. It holds meaning, even though I don't know exactly, really what I'm saying. I feel it. I never, I've always had really strong emotion with it, and I've always known that it's been there. And when it comes through, it can be, Ipu Piara, who is the one who discovered or told me what languages they were. He had told me in the past that, it can come through and it will get stronger and stronger. And so to just get used to that. And there's probably even more languages coming through also. But just, if you're used to it and if you want to, you feel the need to speak it because it will become even stronger. Okay.
Right. Now, have you, I mean, we mentioned four languages earlier. Are you saying there's a possibility there's probably more than that?
Yeah, and I don't know what they are, but Ipu has told me in the past, he's like, he could tell, like, there's definitely, it started off with just the one. And within, I don't know how many years, I would have, two and then three. And then I think it was like even a number of years down the line, a fourth one came through and he said, it'll probably keep happening. And I can tell when I'm speaking it sometimes that it's something new and I don't know what it is. And it might be way different. And sometimes the dialect, it could be in a male dialect or female. And when I had asked Ipu that, he had told me, depending on what isn't said, will depend on if it's female or male. Because in some of the tribes, the women were not allowed to say certain words. And so if those words were being said, they knew it was a male dialect.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. So
And
it's kind of cool.
so meditation brings this on pretty much.
Not necessarily. It could be at any time if I'm relaxed, or sometimes it happens if I'm, if they're trying to warn me, if the spirits are trying to warn me and give me the heads up about something, it may just spontaneously come through really fast. And that has happened in the past. I mean, it happened when, when I'm driving sometimes, and one time all of a sudden it came through super strong and I slammed on the brakes, just not even realizing what I was doing. And a big 18-wheeler truck pulled out like four cars in front of me, and all the other cars are, flying this way and that way. And luckily, I stopped and I didn't hit anybody. So it worked out, kind of course, like they're watching over me in some ways, and I appreciate it. And I try to pay attention, which is a really big thing I do with people. I tell people on the, when I do this the fourth Thursday is by paying attention. You become more aware and more in tune, and we're all intuitive. You know that we're all intuitive.
We all have a certain level of
Yes,
intuition. Absolutely.
yeah. And when you pay attention to it, then you can, start working with it more. I guess that's a good way to put it. It sounds kind of weird when I say it like that, but you become more aware and you become more intuitive, and then you become more open and you're open-minded, and before you know it, you're starting to understand things even faster, or more things will start coming through that you understand. And I think that that's a really important thing for all of us to remember and to work on and to focus on. And I think that that's a really, really big thing for me, is I always try to remind people to do that and visualize, also like when you're meditating and when the languages will come through during that time. Then I try to even focus more on what am I seeing? It's like, okay, what am I feeling first of all? And then what am I seeing? Because that is the only way I can, learn from these languages that I don't know. But when they come through me, it's like, how does it feel? And is it rushed? Is it comforting? Is it a message? Is it, how does it feel? Or is it something that person needs to know? So it's pretty interesting.
So it's not only the message itself, but it's the way that it's delivered that's important.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd like me to speak them, I can do that. I can speak it for you. I mean, it's always
Please,
there.
let's have a sample. Go ahead.
Okay. Però se ne pela, non ho, ma sarian tora che iana me, e sario tora po sarian a me, e le curia, iara sario mo, mo, me riesiga. Ed sono mo con papele, dono miana, se lo soro chiamiana, catetolo. Okay, and then
Wow, that just came
I
out, that
can,
just flew right out of you.
yeah, it does. And then I might keep going, or all of a sudden it might shift, and it feels like it shifted, so I wanted to say that, and then it goes, mo pele, on periana, ad adomel, o serie alle mo pia pesan man, mano ete, mano uja, ya se, yo ma ete mo lo serie dana, mo ke la riana mod, e si pelea doro con maiana. And then, and then it goes to something else. So there's a lot that comes through in a lot of different ways. And so when I hear it, it's like, okay, what did I feel from that? What is it? What's the take home
Right.
message? Even if I don't know exactly what I'm saying. So I try to work on it like that and see how it can help. And sometimes I don't, it's just more comforting. And other times it's like they're trying to, push me forward about something or get moving or doing something. And so I always find it really interesting when it comes through. And like I said, you never know how it's going to sound or, which language is going to, come through at that moment.
Well, maybe you should like develop your own Rosetta Stone or something, with your vocabulary, so you get to grasp these words and you'll start learning what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because Ipupiaro, who ended up did who helped who he translated the languages, he had told me that they were either prayers or blessings of the earth or to people, and telling us to be more earth honoring, and just really kind of earthy messages, which is something, I mean, I'll be honest, years ago I wasn't really earthy. I was pretty just like, living in the moment here with, doing what I doing my thing. And it does kind of ring home, the whole fact of that we're all on this earth and we do need to be a little more earth honoring. And we can all find our own way. I'm not gonna go, tell you what you have to do and do this and do that. But it is something that's important to remember that, if you find your own way, whether you simply, do more recycling or whatever you choose to do, that's something that will be more aware to you that will bring some acknowledgement to the earth and to help the earth. So, I think it's kind of that's one of their big messages when they came through, which was really interesting since I was never really like that type of person. It was cool that when it came through, it was kind of a reminder like, hey, you live here too. And it's like, oh yeah, I do. So
Very interesting.
yeah.
Now, have you noticed like any changes in the spiritual shifts or any spiritual shifts as a result of, it's a different world now than it was 2 years ago, like pre-COVID and post-COVID. A lot of people are making comparisons. And have you noticed any kind of shift?
Oh, I think there's been lots of shifts. I mean, I think actually, I think even on your show, I was on your show a couple years ago, and it might have been in January, and I had said to you something about I felt something was really going on heavy, but I felt like it could have been around me. I didn't want to say it was about the world or anything. And at the time, I was like, man, it felt really weird. And I never really thought about it after that. And then when all that started happening, I was like, ooh, I wonder if that's that they were trying to, give me a heads up about that. And then, when all this happened over the last couple of years, it's like there's definitely a huge shift, I think. I mean, just think about it in general, if you're not even, intuitive or a medium or a psychic or whatever, everybody feels it on some level. And unfortunately, many people experienced it, with loved ones. But I think there is a really big shift and people are kind of going in a direction of, they're going deeper within. They're finding their own path now that maybe they weren't always working towards. They were, out in the world doing their thing, media, this, that. And now it's kind of like, okay, it's bringing it in closer, I think, to each individual where it's a little more on a personal level, even though it's worldwide. We also feel it on a more personal level, and that I think people are experiencing more. And maybe part of it is because a lot of people work from home, so they're not having as much interaction with, coworkers and this and that. So when you're having a lot more alone time, even though you may be working, you become more intuitive. You start getting you start hooking in a little deeper in a different way. And for some people, it can be very uncomfortable. And for some people, It's very comfortable. So, you know, it's kind of like we all shifted, but now everybody's trying to find their new road or their new way they're going. And I think that that's really important because then they have a kind of a relationship with the universe that maybe they really never thought about, but now they're sitting there at home at their desk, you know, in their office or what, and they're like, what's going on? Why am I picking up something? Or they think about somebody that they've been working with, and then, you know, their coworker tells them something and they're like, wow, I knew that. I knew that was going to happen. And what it is they're just becoming more intuitive because they have their own space. They're not, you know, in with a whole big crowd of people all the time, doing stuff all the time. They're now settling down within like their own place.
You know, I think you touched upon something for sure. The world is definitely, it's a brave new world out there. I tend to agree with that very much. I myself, I mean, I used to go into work 5 days a week, and now I'll go in maybe one day a week and work 4 days from home. It does give you a lot more self-reflection time, and that, I guess, promotes this kind of intuitiveness that we naturally have.
Right. And isn't it interesting that in a way everyone was forced to figure out a new path? Everyone was placed in this, you know, position that we were all at home, you know, and so now you're forced into a new realm that you've never been in. And you know, a lot of people find it really uncomfortable. They're like, I mean, now they might not. Now they're like, oh, yeah, keep me at home, you know. But I mean, you know, you got to remember, though, that when all this was happening, you know, people, they don't know what direction to go in. And I hear that from a lot of, you know, younger people, too, that they're like, I'm just not sure what path I want to take. And you're kind of like, yeah, it's bringing you to a different level that, you know, it's like the universe has shifted and, you know, they didn't tell everybody the plan, but here it is now. And so, you know, now you have to go in a new direction. And I think that, you know, this is a great time for people to become, you know, more intuitive, to start meditating or, you know, taking 5 or 10 minutes if you can, and just spending some quiet time and, you know, get into this space and find comfort and, you know, do something where you can end up, it can actually help you in the future. And you didn't even realize it would do that. You know, you had no clue that this could happen, and now it has. And so, you know, you probably hear more people talking about, you know, having experiences and all their intuition. And it's really cool because it's almost like it's making our universe stronger.
Has your practice changed because of COVID? Like, I mean, maybe like the ratio of like people that you see personally has gone down, and you see more people online now with Zoom meetings or whatever.
For me, it was always the same with, I would only do it on the phone. I don't really want to look at anybody. I don't like looking at people when I read them. I know that sounds really odd, but I'm one of these people that when I do a reading, I meditate like 2 or 3 times before a reading, and then I write everything down.
Okay.
So to me, it hasn't changed so much in that aspect because it doesn't matter who I'm talking to. I don't have to see who they are. I don't want to see who they are. I want to just see who they are in my own mind and what do I gather from the meditation. And so in that sense, it's very similar. But for me personally, I've had changes with it, you know, because I feel
that's a good thing, actually. That's a good thing because, yeah, it's almost like a single blind reading where, you know, you can't be accused of doing what's called cold readings by, you know, looking at people's expressions and stuff like that. So that's actually a good thing.
Well, and, you know, I write everything down like in my meditations before I even talk to people. And then I tell them when I'm talking to you, I give you everything I get. And then if anything else comes through, you know, I'll definitely, you know, share it. Like if someone else comes in while, you know, the reading's going on, I would, you know, totally do that. But it's just, for me, it's just the way I've always personally worked because I don't want to see people. And I know that sounds really kind of strange, but then you can, if you look at someone, you can pick up their energy really easy in their emotion. And, you know, and I don't want to look at someone and have it set me off. But, you know, but then there's also the other thing of, you know, I think about the story that, although I'm from Missouri, I was visiting my son and daughter-in-law when they lived in New York. They no longer live there. And we went to this little coffee shop, you know, downtown in Manhattan. And it was really interesting because we were standing outside And as I'm talking, I'm looking past them in this huge picture window, and there's all this commotion going on, okay, in the background. But outside, in our own little world, we were just in our own little world, and I remember thinking, wow, that's kind of like a reading. When you're focusing on a person, but at the same time, all this other, you know, information is coming in behind them or around them or through them or next to them. And you have to capture that information. And that's what I write down, you know, and then it's like, oh, I'm getting this over here and this is coming in behind you and I'm seeing this. And I think that's a lot like a reading. And it's interesting because you'll talk to every medium. I know you've talked to everyone, you know, every month, and they all have a different way. And
they all have different ways. Yep.
Yeah. And even though we have a lot of similarities, we have a lot of differences because it's how we were raised or how we discovered it in our own way or how we crafted it in our own way, you know? And I think that for me, you know, mine was always writing it down because I would meditate. I just started meditating. That's, you know, I had all this stuff happening around me. And I was trying to figure out a way to figure it all out, put it into boxes. Who did it belong to? And so I started meditating. And then I would write something down. I'd be like, oh, gosh, I forgot. I got to go do this. Oh, man, I had to do this at like 3. Okay. And I'd write that down so I could let go of it. And so for me, it was really, really important to write everything down so that I could let go of it. So I could allow myself to be open to see whatever needed to come through. And then that's how it worked for me.
It's funny how, like, the spirit will know before a reading, before your readings, that this particular, you know, this is the message that needs to come across. I mean, it just goes to show that, you know, they're aware of what's going on in this world. You know what I mean?
Right. But it's also, you know, and the thing is, too, though, the medium, they also have to work with the medium in their own frame of how they live in their life. You know, like, if somebody told me something I didn't understand, I would be sitting there going, you know, I don't know what this means, but I'm going to tell you what I feel like it means. But this is what I'm getting. And that's the best you can do. And sometimes, if you know, and I'll be honest, I mean, you know, I'm not 100%. And if I miss something, I'm kind of like, well, why did that happen? You know, like, why didn't I get that? That wasn't so bad. But sometimes that's just the way it is. And it's kind of, you know, we can only do, you know, what we can do. And so that's why I try to always stick to the way I personally work for me, you know, and I'm always interested in how everybody else works. But, you know, it may not be the right way for me. So that's why I always tell everybody else out there, you know, who's listening, if you're feeling something a certain way and somebody says, oh, no, you can't do it that way, I don't listen to that because I don't agree with that. I think everybody has their own direction.
I think Hollywood and the media have done a big disservice to the way mediumship works.
Yes.
Because it's just like, for instance, my daughter is going into forensics. Okay, she's studying at University of New Haven into forensics, and forensic cases do not get solved in 1 hour like the CSI episodes.
Right. You know what
I mean? And it's same with mediumship, right? I mean, it doesn't work that way. It's not clear cut, like it would be if somebody wrote the script, obviously.
Right. Well, so, and that's true. And that's the thing. And that's, you know, and like you said, that is kind of the problem with it, the way Hollywood, you know, portrays it, that it can be done immediately. And you know, all the answers 100% and everything's right. It doesn't work like that. But what you do is you feel like, I always say that, you know, if you give enough pieces of the puzzle, you have your puzzle, you have your answers, you know, and that's what I always ask the other side, to give me the pieces of the puzzle or give me as much as you can or as clear as it can, that I can understand it. Even if it is something that's beyond me. I mean, you know, if somebody in, you know, a biomed or something, they, you know, they pass and they're trying to tell me something, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to be like, I see, you know, what do I see? You know, so it's kind of like you have to put it, you know, in my frame of reference that I can understand it. And I think that, you know, when people are open to hearing that or open to understanding that that's where you come from, then I think then you can get even, you know, you can get more out of a reading too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think like you alluded to earlier, we all have a little bit of intuitiveness in us. And I think one of the big blockers is self-doubt, that you know, you might pick up on something and your ego comes in and says, nah, it's just your imagination. It can't be right, you know. That stops a lot of people, and I think mediums that are successful have learned to tune that out and learn to trust themselves with what they're perceiving, and quiet that ego down, I think.
Right. Well, and that is the big thing. You got to take the ego out. And I think that's why one reason I write everything down is when it's coming through, boom, 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 I'm writing it down and I'm not thinking. And then, if I go back and I look at it and I was just like, huh, that's, is that right? Is that right? And I'm like, well, that's what I got. That's what they're getting. I mean, it's just as simple as that. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to, say anything. And if that's what it is, great. And if I'm off, then I guess I'm off, but that's how it is. And so, I think intuition is really important for everyone. Like you said, and like we were talking about, everyone has it. And it might be a good idea for people to even try that. If you have a loved one, I mean, I would love for everyone to have a connection with their loved one on their own. And you can do it in so many different ways. There's so many different avenues you can take to have that connection. And I mean, just being intuitive, just, having, like how many times do people say, oh, I got a whiff of this and I knew it was so and so, or I heard the song and I knew it was that. And it's like, yeah, that's how they're coming through to you. I mean, or, I had something happen to me today where somebody sent me something and it was so funny because as soon as this person sent me this, I knew it was coming from someone in my family saying, you need to do this. And I was just like, okay, I need to do this. And I had to laugh because I thought I was not planning this at all. And it came through and happened kind of spontaneous, but I knew instantly that that's why I had to do this. And it's if people would pay attention to that more and like connect with their loved ones and say, hey, come through and give me a sign, or hey, come through and show me something in whatever way you want to, do it. Or if you have a certain thing that you love, that connects to them, give me that and let me see that so I know I'm on the right track. And sometimes that helps,
Yeah, absolutely. And just referring back to the ego, it really blocks you from doing stuff like that. I would recommend anybody that really wants to really get in touch with themselves to read a couple of books from Eckhart Tolle. I don't know if you heard of him, but he is a big proponent of what's called the now and living now and not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future, because really you're only living in the now. What happened 1 second ago is already gone, and what hasn't happened is not what you're living in. It's yet to come, but and it's just a way of quieting your mind and just quieting your ego, because the ego is your worst enemy. Ego is like fight or flight. It was very important when we were cavemen and we were attacked by by lions and stuff like that, and we had to survive and all of that. Yeah, it was important then, but now that we're an evolved society with universities and libraries and everything, it's not as important as it used to be. I mean, that's what Eckhart kind of says in a nutshell, but in a much, much better way.
Well, you said it great. You said it was beautiful. And I mean, I always say that too. I actually wrote down a long time ago to remind yourself you're doing this one day at a time. And it's kind of like just be in the moment, and that's exactly what you just said. And I agree with that. And I think that's important that, when we do that and you're just kind of taking everything one moment at a time, in the now, you can be more open and more aware. And I think that, that's where the validation comes in. That's where, spontaneous knowing comes in. That's where you find all these, answers, or you have these emotional connections that you didn't know were there, and I mean, think about it, like all these people now who are working at home. When they take a break and they're, having to do work, if they just sit for 5 minutes and say, okay, I just need some energy. You can ask for the universe to give you some energy. Ask, give me some energy. Let me, get through this day. And then I always try to balance it out where, okay, then I have to do something positive. If I'm asking, if I'm going to ask for something from the universe, you got to give back. And so I like to always try to do something that way too. And I feel like that helps too, because you're moving at good energy around. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I also look at it, if you're really focused on something, and your mind's not distracted by other things, then you can probably perform the task better if you're just thinking of whatever you're focused on at the moment. You know what I mean?
Oh,
So,
totally, totally. I agree with you. Yeah.
yeah, for sure.
So.
So, do you like, have you ever like refused to give a reading for any reason? Maybe because the person wasn't ready, or something was telling you, no, this isn't the right time or the right place or the right person or something like that. You ever get
Yeah.
messages like that?
Yeah, I have. There's been people along the way. I mean, over the years where I'll start a reading and I'll see a red flag. And I'll be like, oh, okay. And I'm like,
Reading for a woman.
I think that means I need to stop. And I'll just be like, okay, do I really want to do this? And or I'll sit there and I'll be like, gosh, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable. And I'll be like, you know what? I'm sorry, I can't read you. And I'll let them know. I'll apologize and say, I just don't feel comfortable reading you. I just feel like there's something there. And it may not be them. It may, it could be me. It could be something that maybe they have to experience before they should have a reading, or maybe, I wasn't the right fit. I mean, I've had readings where, I might be like, I'm not real comfortable, or I might start a reading and just say, I'm kind of feeling like this is what I'm going to give you. And, I want you to let me know right away, if you don't think this is right. And if I get something, it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. I mean, it's just one of those things where if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And you have to like let it, you have to let go and not just say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Or I might say, well, I'm going to give you the information I have, but I'm done. And I just want to let you know I'm, not charging you because that's what I have. And I just won't feel
Right.
comfortable. But yeah, I think it's, there could be so many reasons why. It could be, I could be having a bad day. It could be, I wasn't supposed to read them. It could be, maybe they have to experience something different before they get a reading. Or it
Right.
could be,
Right.
there's lots of things that could happen. But yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not perfect. I'm happy to tell somebody if I can't get it. I'm not, there's nothing, I'm not perfect. So.
Right. And the reason I asked that question kind of out of the blue, it just popped into my head because that happened to me. I went to a medium and she refused to read me. Simple as
Yeah.
that. And I was kind of taken aback because I had the cash in hand. My reasons were completely noble. I wasn't trying to trick or anything, but I gave her a fake name and I didn't give any credit card information because I didn't want any what ifs. I didn't want, you can Google my name and you can see what happened to me and my son, like what happened to my son, and then you can do a whole session on that, and I didn't want that. So I gave a fake name, paid in cash. No, sorry, I can't. So I was a little bit skeptical of the abilities of that particular medium, but it could have been other things as well. Now, you've opened my eyes to that as well. So.
Well, and I mean, you have to think about it too. It's like I could say, oh, I could try. But it's if you're not comfortable, if there's something there that you don't feel comfortable about, then I think it's good that they don't do a reading. And maybe the other mediums all say, oh no, I've never had that happen, but I really don't believe that. I feel like everybody's had that somewhere along the way, that there's just somebody you can't read or you don't feel comfortable reading or for what, or even somebody who they may keep coming back to you. They might want you to read them and read them again. And just like, you know what? No, I basically told people I would only read them once a year. I will not read them more than once a year because I did not want them to get caught into that, go to a reading, get a reading, get a reading, like
Wanting
I'm
more
their
and wanting
personal,
more.
medium and psychic every month. I won't do that. And I've never been like that. And if they, even when they would email me, and say, oh, it's time for reading, I'd be like, I don't think so. So I'd go, look up the file and I'd be like, yeah, no, sorry, I'm not gonna do it. And it's like, it's not about, me trying to see how much money I get. It's about there's, this is the way I work and how I'm very, I do the same thing with it. I'm just like this, I'm not gonna change it. I'm not gonna say, okay, sure. This is who I am. And then if they're like, okay, then that's just the way it is. So, we're all different. I mean, that's just how I am.
Well, this medium's excuse to me was that her spirit guides told her not to do a reading with me, which I couldn't understand because I just wanted to get in touch with my son. I had no other motives other than that. Just,
I'm thinking that maybe she just couldn't connect with you. I mean, you know, and I feel like that can happen at times. So I think she should have just said, you know, I don't really feel like I can connect with you.
Oh, I never even talked. You know, I never even met her. It was through her secretary. Everything was through her secretary. So that's what kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. But anyways, it's you know, but then I've had some really, really amazing readings. So, and most of them were amazing. So,
We'll see. And maybe that's why too. Maybe you were meant to go to somebody different after that, you know, it's just, you know, you got to look at it like that. I mean, I just, you know, you never know.
Absolutely. So, have you ever gotten like during your readings, like, what are you, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairvisionary? Like, do you see what's going on? Like, do you see visions?
I see things, and I sometimes will hear words, and I feel things. Those are my main three. But seeing is mostly what I it's more like, you know, I see, I'll close my eyes and I see things happen in front of me. That's kind of what I see. And I kind of, you know, I go from there.
Interesting. And do you ever do any like training for other people to tap into their powers of mediumship? Like, do you do any courses or anything like that?
No, I don't do any courses. I mean, like at the conferences that I've been at, when we, you know, go into the different breakout rooms, I'll, you know, teach something that I have, you know, that worked for me or that I like to do, or, you know, and I think that it may help someone, you know, with whatever their experience, or, you know, like, oh, try this. And, you know, because like I said, mainly I do a lot with, you know, it's kind of like energy and with writing information down. I do that kind of thing. So, but I don't
the psychometry,
teach that.
The psychometry, you ever try that?
Yes, I have done that. Well, and actually, you know, basically it would be like when someone would send me, you know, a money order, a check in the mail or whatever, and I hold the envelope and you're just like, what do you see? What do you feel? And I would just write it on the envelope. And then after that, I would, you know, write it. I would write, you know, continue and write down in my notes and, you know, for their, in their file and put it in there. And then when it gets close to the reading, then I would open it up and then I would, you know, start over and meditate and what is going on? What am I, you know, what who's coming through now? And I would just kind of go that route. But I think, you know, mainly it's just, you know, I kind of just, you know, hang out here. I don't teach really any courses.
No, that's cool.
There's a lot of family mediums that do. So I let them do that.
Of course. I mean, you got to do what you're good at and what your strengths are. And that's totally respectable, totally fine. I remember doing a medium training course. I mean, way, way back, I did a local session here in Albany where we got paired up with somebody and this lady handed me her ring and the name John came to my mind and it was her grandfather John's wedding ring and like it completely freaked her out. I don't know how I came up with that name, but you know, I was told that I have some psychometric abilities, I guess, or something.
Yeah, totally.
It was fun. It was totally
That's cool.
Fun.
Well, you should probably keep doing that, Roman. You should keep, you know, doing, you know, practicing.
I wish I can predict lottery numbers. That's what I want to know.
Oh, you and me both. I mean,
that would
there's
be
a
the
lot
best.
Of combinations. I don't think my brain can handle that. I don't think the spirits could handle me with that.
Oh, boy.
No, so, I mean, really, you know, you made a good point is if there's something you are good at, you should practice. You should practice. You should. And even if you just kind of make it your own, like, personal, I don't want to say game, but it's kind of like you could use it as that in a way where, you know, you if you're out somewhere and you pick something up and you hold it, just see what you feel from it, you know, and if or somebody drops something and if you pick it up for them, do you feel something from that? And you could hand it to them. You might be like, you might be feeling happiness or sadness. And you could be like, oh, so how's your day? You know, I mean, I would do that to people all the time. Like when I'm around people and my friends now are onto me. So they know this, but if I'm picking up something really strong, I'll be like, so what's going on with you today? You know, I just, you know, how's it going? You know, and it'll be like, oh yeah. What are you getting out? Or, you know, how do you feel? And it's kind of one of those things where it's just a being in tune in a different way. So maybe that's one of your ways and it could be, you know, one of many, who knows? It could be one of many. You might have multiple, you know, you probably have multiple, but if you know that worked for you, that might be something to practice in your own way. And just by doing it and making it fun, that opens you up more because you're enjoying it, and then you start getting receiving more. You know,
that,
when we,
I'm going to try you know, that.
You know, when we ever have that, when anybody does that, when you're doing any of those experiences, if you enjoy it, you want more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very guilty of like being a, you know, not a materialist, but like, you know, I'm very hard on myself. It's like there's no way I haven't, you know, I don't have those abilities. So ever since that time, I've never really tried it again. But you know what? You've given me some. You fed me some crumbs there, and I'm going to try to run with it a little bit. And
you do try it. Then when I talk to you next time, we'll talk about it.
You know what? I'll make a note of it to let you know how that went. Like next time we talk in a year or whatever, maybe hopefully sooner, actually, you know?
Yeah. So that would be cool. You try that.
Yeah. So what was I going to ask? Is your consciousness altered at all? Like during a reading, like, do you go into a different, are you like present in the room with the person and it's just whatever comes into your head kind of thing?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of how I want to say this because mostly I'm on the phone. So, you know, there's nobody in front of me, but when I meditate for the reading and I write everything down, that is separate. And then when I go into the reading and I am telling the client what I received, I'm also open to hearing or seeing whatever else comes through. And because I don't see them, I start seeing other things. And I could say, well, this is what I'm getting. And now this came through with this. And, you know, and so I am kind of in a different zone, I guess. I mean, I'm aware, but I'm also kind of in a different place, you know. So I do allow myself to be open and to have whatever experience I need to have. And it could even be something where I might feel something, you know, like, you know, like, or there may be somebody that's like right next to me. And I could say, you know, okay, there is someone standing next to me. I can feel their energy. It's definitely male, you know, and then I'll start going into, you know, describing whatever I see. And, you know, and I can do it that way too. So I think I kind of allow myself to be open to whatever needs to come through in whatever way it needs to come through. And then at the end of the reading, then I shut it down. But I am open, you know, during the reading, and I'm open when I'm, you know, meditating to whatever I need to experience. So I kind of, you know, I've always been one of these people that this is going to sound really bizarre what I do. It's like you pick yourself up and move yourself over to the right and you put yourself down. Okay. That's so it's like I take myself and put myself to the side to allow whatever needs to come through to me. And it's more of a visual thing, I think, for me, because then it's like taking myself out of the way, you know, letting go of any ego, letting go of everything, and allowing whatever needs to come through will come through to me in whatever way it needs to. And whether it's a physical sensation, it's, you know, a visual, you know, and if it's something really, really difficult that it would be really, really hard for me to see, I really feel like spirit will give it to me in a way that will be not so difficult because, you know, it's really hard. You see things you really don't want to see. And
yeah,
so
it must be draining too. Like,
it's,
I mean,
very draining.
You must be like tired after a reading.
Yeah,
so
I am. And oh, go
you
on.
Can't do like 10 readings in a day. That's probably impossible, right?
No, like, I'm not that medium. There may be mediums out there like that. I've never been one of those. I will not do hardly any more than a couple a week. I am not one to do a bunch. And I'm okay with that. And I don't mind letting people know. And some people are like, oh my gosh, I do 10, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, that's great. You know, that's good for you. I don't work that way. I am very different. I'm very, you know, I focus on what I need to with, you know, in a certain way for me, and maybe, you know, other mediums, they're that great that they can do all that. I can't, and I'm okay with that, but you know, we all work in our own way.
And you know what, Janet, in the many, many mediums that I've interviewed over the last 4 years that I've been doing this gig, there aren't, I can't think of one that does 10 in a day. It's usually one, two maximum. There's not a lot. I mean, because it's really draining. It takes out a lot of energy, and it's a lot to ask for from a medium. That's why you guys get the big bucks. No, but
yeah, but I mean, you put a lot of time into it, and that's
oh,
the difference. Is, when you're thinking, oh, it's just an hour, and they're making money and good, they're going about their way. It's like, no, I mean, I don't know how other mediums work, but when I do, two or three meditations before mm-hmm. I even do the reading, so right. we're talking hours, yeah. and then the reading itself, and so it's kind of like, well, but there's the purpose is, to connect with a loved one. The
yep.
whole purpose is to give
Absolutely.
Someone comfort or to help them, move forward.
And you know what? This reminds me, as a musician, I'll perform maybe once every 2 weeks, but the rehearsals and the practices and the practicing on my own that goes on with it, when you work it down to that, I'm getting paid like pennies an hour.
Right,
you're doing
right.
more for the love of it and to bring enjoyment to the world, basically.
Right. Well, so, the other thing too, Roland, is when disability was coming through when I was younger and
right.
getting stronger and stronger and stronger, it was a heads up to me that it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? And that was the whole reason that I wanted to get tested, because I'm like, well, I can't read people if I know I'm not, if I'm not good enough. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I did it. And so I think it was important that as I was, going through my life and saying, there's a purpose to this, and it's not just for me to be seeing what I'm seeing. I have to be able to, put it somewhere. Where is it going? And then I realized as I started reading, it was like, oh my gosh, this is what it's supposed to do. I'm supposed to be sharing what I know, instead
mm-hmm.
of just getting
mm-hmm.
it. And I
right.
think that, that's part of the thing too, is people, people think, oh, you just automatically have this. You can turn it on. You can turn it off. You can do this. You can do that. And it's like, that was not my story. My story was, it was coming through so strong all the time that it was, so unbelievable and uncontrollable that I had to figure out how to take care of myself and figure out how to do this and know how to turn it off. Know, how can I put it in the right boxes and how can I share it? And it was a journey, but it took me a long time, but it was also definitely worth it, because it was worth knowing that what I was giving someone would bring comfort to them, or let them know their loved ones there, that, you can talk to your loved ones. You can, sit in the chair and, mm-hmm. and talk to your loved one, and you're probably going to get some form of a sign in some way. And if you're paying attention, you can recognize it. If you're not paying attention, they'll come back another time. I always say it's like somebody coming to your front door and ringing a bell. If you're not there, they're going to go away, but they're probably going to come back because they have something to tell you. So,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of how it works. So I think that it was a really long journey, but at the same time, it was a journey that was totally worth going through everything yeah. I went through to bring me out on the other side to help someone and give them comfort. And that's, that's
the immortal words of Spider-Man's Uncle Ben: with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes, yes. You
Absolutely.
Said it for sure. You said it for sure. That's true.
Absolutely. So what do you think of death now that, you communicate with the other side? Do you fear death?
No, I just think that it's just like another doorway and
transition.
Sometimes I'll be like, I don't know how it's going to happen. And I probably really don't want to know how it's going to happen, but what? It's going to happen. It's, they always say death and taxes. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like when I have gotten so many wonderful signs from loved ones, family and friends after they passed, that I think, that's going to be really cool when I get to catch up with them all. I'm not ready, I don't think, but whenever the time comes, it's okay. It's going to be okay, because I know I'm going to be surrounded in a really cool way. And, I don't know if it will be a surprise. I don't know if I already have ideas about it, but I know that, there's comfort, there's loved ones over there, and,
mm-hmm.
it'll be nice to catch up again. That's how I look at it.
I know it'll be very different than what it is over here.
Yes.
And I'm not looking forward to crossing over, but I'm not scared of what's happening, after that, because I
right.
know we'll be taken care of.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. And like you said, I think it's going to be, more beautiful than what we can imagine. And I always go back to this, This one time in my book, I talked about a woman was at the end of my bed one time when I went to sleep. I couldn't get to sleep. I rolled over and I happened to look down and there was a woman at the end of the bed or at the end of the room. And she was standing this certain way. And she was trying to warn me, which, you know, I didn't have a clue at the time because I didn't really understand what she was doing. And she was sending these colors like a rainbow towards me. And they were so vivid. I have never in my life seen colors like that. It's like taking a neon light and timesing it by, you know, 100,000. It was so pure and vivid and beautiful. And it was coming to me and I felt so much love. And I remember, you know, smacking my husband going, you know, wake up, there's one, you know, and then telling him, I'm like, oh my God, I said, it wasn't an earth love. It was not an earth love. I've never felt it. It was a love I had never experienced that was so unique. I don't even know how to explain it. And I don't think I can totally explain it. But it was something that I thought, wow, that's what it's like when you're on the other side. That's what it's like.
Yeah, I'm totally fascinated by that. I've read a couple of books on it. And, you know, there's that the one by Anthony Borgia. Life in the World Unseen, I think it's called.
Okay.
And he is, Anthony Borgia is the, he's a medium that does, he writes by handwritten, you know, just basically what is being dictated to him by this Monsignor from the Catholic Church, Hugh Benson, Monsignor Hugh Benson, who got it all wrong when he was in, you know, immortal. And, you know, preached all of these strict doctrines of the Catholic Church. And then once he was crossed over, he was saying, no, it ain't anything like that. It's much more beautiful and just incredible. And it's a free download. You can Google it. It's called Life in the World Unseen for all
our
viewers. You can get a free PDF of it. It floored me. It's a absolutely well written, and it's all done by a medium who just you know wrote down by hand. What's the medium was Anthony Borgia that wrote down Sir Hugh Benson's whatever it was dictated by, like what Sir Hugh Benson was seeing, Monsignor Benson was seeing on the other side, and it just probably the one of the best descriptions of the other side that I've ever seen, that I've ever read. So if anybody's interested, that's a really good, it's a really good read. Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, we're coming up. This was like this hour flew by so quick. It's incredible.
It did. Well, I did a lot of talking. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's great. That's what we're here for. It's you guys are, you know, you're the expert on mediumship and we're here to tap your brains. I can talk for hours too, but nobody's interested in what I have to say.
Oh, sure we are. Sure.
I'm just a dope small guitar player. But let's do a little plug about you. Tell us about your practice and how people can get a hold of you and all that good stuff.
Well, I mean, you just can find me on my website at www.janetmayer.net. I actually currently am not doing any readings right now. I am kind of on a break. And so that, you know, they can get a hold of me if they have questions or something. I mean, I do, you know, I can talk to people that way, but I don't, you know, right now I'm kind of on a break here. So
the sabbatical?
Yes, I am on a spot.
Okay. Well, good for you. You know, sometimes you guys need a break from that, you know?
That's right. That's right. But I mean, you know, it's great to talk about it and to, you know, let people, you know, like I said, I do the fourth Thursday of the month too. And it's interesting because it's great to talk about our intuition and where we're at and to remind people that we have it. And that's kind of what I feel like I'm here for too, is that, you know, you don't really need me. I might be helpful, but you also can have connections of your own in your own way. And I always suggest people, you know, to, you know, try different things. I think it's important to, you know, find your own connections. And it's, you know, mediums definitely can help. I'm you know, 100% there. But I also feel like, you know, we can all, you know, make connections on our own too. And that it and they're very fulfilling and the connections are beautiful and emotional. And, you know, I always hope people try that too. And do lots of reading, like you said, Roman. There's tons of books out there, and oh, you know, yeah. you can go in any direction that you want. So.
Yeah, there's so many different facets to this thing about the afterlife. There's consciousness, there's EMDR, holotropic breathing, there's those the mirror gazing, there's just so many things that touch upon it. Even quantum physics touches upon it. You know, the
Yeah.
fact that consciousness dictates reality and it's not the other way around. Materialists think that reality dictates everything. No, not true. You know, that saying, and I've said it many times, if a tree falls in a forest, nobody's there to witness it, does it make a sound? It's a firm no. It does not make a sound because it's not being observed. Observation is what dictates reality. Consciousness dictates reality. That's what quantum physics at the tiniest level has proven with the double slit experiment. And it's amazing. You know, there's so much that we don't know. There's so much.
Right. And that's true. It isn't it interesting though, exploring it all as much as we can, individually.
Yeah,
So
you
that's
could spend a
cool.
whole life and you won't even get there. You won't, the way that God put everything together, there's no way.
Right.
But it's fun. It's fun taking the minute, minuscule steps towards being enlightened, I guess. It's
Right.
all
Well, we're kind of
good.
all on that path when you think about it, even though you might not realize that we are.
Absolutely. Janet, it has been wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. It's been great.
Well, thank you, Roman. It was great being here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Janet. Thank you, everybody. And I'll see you, everybody, well, next month I won't be here. I'll be in Italy visiting my daughter, who is studying in Prato, Italy. And my family's taking a vacation there. So I think Tom Gould is going to be taking over for me for next month. But I'll be back in month of May to do
Oh, wow. Well, have a great
that.
time, Roman.
Well, thank you so much, Janet. All right, you take care. Thank you very much. And everybody, as Bob and Fran love to remind us, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away. Science is going to prove it. Good night, everybody.